levantaré mi bandera.
To a very special edition of the Latin Babbler Show. I am your host, the Latin Babbler. I am joined by absolutely Miss Rocky and Sylvia, aka Cosmo Latina. Our guest today has over 33 years of experience as a writer, producer, director. He has coordinated productions for major Hollywood companies such as Columbia Pictures and Universal Studios through Latin America, and has received an Emmy Award, 23 Telly Awards, 23 International Awards. His latest project is a hilarious new comedy called Escándalo Secreto, which is making history as the first original feature to be aired on a free ad-supported streaming television, Distro TV. Jorge Cano, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you. It's a pleasure to be here. Thank you very much.
I'm excited. I got to ask you, because you have a crazy amount of awards. I'm looking at it behind you. And I was sitting there going, I'm like, I wonder if he has this on a wall somewhere where it's just displayed. And you perfectly showed it. So that's like really cool.
Okay. Thank you.
When did you first realize that you had a passion for filmmaking?
What a great question, you know. I was able to watch a lot of films when I was a kid. And I was at the age of 7 years old when I saw a movie with my mother. And after we got to the theater, I told her, you know what, Mom? I already know what I want to do when I grow up. And she says, what do you want to do? And I said, I want to be a director. And she gave me the inspiration that I needed in order to go forward with my dreams. She says, you know what? If you want to be a director, you can be whatever you want, but be one of the best. So that's what I did. I believe her and I believe in me and I did it. That's a true story. That's how when I decided I wanted to be a director. Of course, I didn't just move on and start as directing. I started in production, I started pulling cables. That was my first job in production. So I start from the bottom.
Oh, and you know what? It's funny that I had the same answer. Like, my daughter's an actress. I had the same answer for her. You know, I have one awesome. Who's a painter. And I told them, look, if you're going to go into these fields, you have to do it at 150 miles an hour. Like, you got to go in 150%. And so very proud of them, because both of them were able to kind of, you know, they worked really hard at it. They were able to get successful at it. And two of the hardest fields that you can possibly think of. So it's amazing because a lot of Latinos don't have a lot of support from their parents when they want to go into a field like this, you know?
Exactly. You're right. You're absolutely right. As a matter of fact, I didn't start right away into film. I mean, I studied other things. I started business administration in order to go into film. I started as a field accountant. I gave up my secure job in order to become a cable puller. And, but that was my university. That's how I learned about filmmaking. And when I became very well experienced, is when I decided to really go to university. But I knew everything about filmmaking, and now in my workshops, that's what I do. I teach people how to do how to learn all the skills on filmmaking, with the exception of the practice, obviously. But I do that in the two-day workshop, and I teach them everything, not only the standards of the film, of the industry, but I give them the formula and my secrets. That's why a lot of my students have gone beyond of what they dreamed in less than 6 years. And that's what it's all about, to communicate and to share with the new generations what I have learned, so they can move faster into the field of filmmaking.
So you and I are going to be best friends, because I believe in that logic.
Totally.
I totally
agree with you, Rafael. Yes.
Yeah. Everything I've learned, better. I've passed on, just to make sure that, like, look, don't take the hard road, the one that I had to take in order for you to be successful. Like, take some of these like journeys and, you know, applied what I've learned and kind of move faster than I did, which is like really awesome. So as we mentioned in the intro, your latest project, Escándalo Secreto, is going to air February 25th. And it's on Distro TV, which for people who don't know, it's the largest independent free ad-supported streaming television platform. And they recently expanded, now adding Distro TV Español channel. It's like a bundle, which is going to be reaching out to the Latin American audience. How did that partnership come about?
Well, actually, it's very interesting how these things develop. I had a major distribution company that I have worked with them in the past. They liked the project at the beginning. They thought it was very unique because, of course, it was done during the pandemic. It was filmed at, or the way I proposed it is to film it at every actor and actress's home and with a very limited crew. So when you see the movie, you'll see that, like, action adventure and a lot of comedy, and you will think they're in the same place, but they're not. They're not together. So based on that, they said great. And then when we came to actually that I was going to do it, that I finished the script, they said, you know what, it's a very crazy idea. I don't think it's going to work. It's just they're not going to be wanting you to go to their homes with COVID-19. So that instead of me backing up, I became a certified COVID-19. I was one of the first producers of Hollywood to become COVID-19 certified. So I learned how to disinfect all the equipments. I learned how to do the test, the media test. At that time, I mean, tests were $150 a pop. And I was doing between 20 and 30 a day while we were shooting all over the place. I mean, this movie was shot in three different countries, U.S., Mexico, Colombia, six different cities, Mexico City, Rosarito, Mexico, Hollywood, New York, Cartagena, Bogota, Medellin, I'm missing one, Cali. So imagine, it was pretty crazy. But of course, after they saw that I signed up all these big names, such as Danny Trejo, Alejandro Gutierrez, Ninel Conde, Loren Herrera, Nietzsche Chama, Esther Anaya, and so forth and so on, they called me and says, you know what, let's revise the project. By that time, I was already in conversations with Distro. And I said, you know what? No, let's talk after I'm done, because I was 2 weeks ready to go into production when they called me. And I've had other offers from other very big platforms, very well-known platforms. Some their icon is red and some their icon is green. But the reason I decided to go with Distro is because I wanted to be part of something huge. And I know Distro is going to be huge in this market for very various reasons. Number one, they offer a vast variety of programming, quality programming at no cost. I mean, doesn't get any better than that. So I want to be part of this movement, and I believe that that the project is good enough to help them get open the big doors in Latin America, and not only that, they embrace me. They share my vision. They saw it. They saw it the way I saw it. And my previous distribution company, they just didn't see it. They not after I did the movie, they called me and they made me a very good offer. But no, I'd rather stay with whomever that had that same vision as I did when I needed it. So that's how we came about. That's how we came about, and that's how we launched it.
Yeah, because they basically believed in you on a project that was, you know, nobody else, everybody else was sitting around. You know what? I don't think this is going to work. You got to stick with the people who turn around and were supporting you throughout the entire process. So that's awesome. So I'm going to play a 60-second clip that I was given. That way people can kind of get an idea. So when we move forward, so here we go.
Can you please tell me what the f*** is going on?
En la pandemia se armó un tremendo escándalo. Conoce los más íntimos secretos de un infiltrado de la CIA.
Estoy trabajando en algo secreto, Javi.
Ay, eso sí está gorda, si ve.
Atrévete a tocar
bien. Yo siempre quise ser chica boy.
cuenta que yo me quiero sentir como una chica Bon. Voy a ser la chica Bon.
Así es.
¿Así? Tan huevo.
Escándalo secreto en plena cuarentena. Una película fuera de serie. Bajo la dirección de Jorge Cano.
Nos están buscando, chato.
¡Yo!
It's going to be huge.
I love it.
It's actually hilarious. I mean, the movie, did it take place? I mean, the movie timeline is taking place during COVID, right?
That's correct. At the highest peak.
When everybody mm-hmm. was on that 2 week or like almost 6 year down, like we were all stuck in the houses. We couldn't do anything. I mean, it's hilarious. I mean, you got Sergio Verduzzo playing Platanito, playing a global yes. hacker. Alejandro Gutierrez yes. is playing James Vaughn, not Bond, Vaughn.
James Vaughn.
You got that's what the shirt is. Yes. He's got the 009 that he's wearing on there. So that's kind of. And then Danny Trejo is always playing some scary dude. Like that. I mean, that's his job. If he's not coming right. after you with two machetes, you know. You just so, can you? I know you can't go in depth because the movie comes out on the 25th. We want everybody to watch it, but. Can you tell us a little bit about what the movie or a little bit about what the movie's about?
Sure, sure. Well, you know what? First of all, let me tell you that so the people that are that you're speaking English audience, so they'll know the movie also will be subtitled in English throughout. And there are some English parts, but it'll be subtitled in English. So people that speak only Spanish can watch the entire film in Spanish or entire film in subtitled in English. So that's one of the things. Now, the other thing that I want to share with you guys before I tell you a little bit about the movie is that what I want to do with this movie is I want to send a message. And the message that I want to send is that despite of the confinement and that we couldn't do anything pretty much, that actually if we really believe in something and we work together, we can do something huge, something big together as a team. You know, as Latins, we lack that. We don't know how to work as a team. And that's what I wanted to share with everybody. Despite, like I said, despite of gender, nationality, including language, I did a film with all these wonderful people. And look at you. You were laughing throughout this small. I know you're going to be laughing your heart out throughout the entire movie. So that's the message that I want to send out, that despite of whatever situation we're in, if we work as a team, we can really make it happen. We can move forward. And that's what I wanted to do. Now, as far as the film, well, I'll tell you a little bit what it's about. It's, like I said, this ex driver from AirCab was in confinement at his house. And he has a lover in Medellin. And he normally does this service for Sergio Verduzco, the hacker, which goes when he travels to Colombia, he takes him to Medellin, and this when he gets to see his lover. But because of COVID, he couldn't do it, so he calls him and asks him to help him out with some sort of a hack, so he can somehow get out of his house because he's going crazy with his wife, which he's always. I guess
typical, right? No.
Something like that. So he gives him this hack, and it happens to be the hack of the CIA. So he becomes the first infiltrated Colombian CIA agent during COVID from Colombia. So they give him this first mission. The first mission they give him is to solve the situation in Cartagena. You remember that that lady that shake all of the Secret Service agents from the president.
Oh, I remember that.
When they visit Cartagena. Okay, well, that was the first mission. So he successfully finished that mission, and then they give him a bigger mission, which is to go after the biggest cartel from New Mexico, U.S., which is headed by MMR, Mario Machin Rin, which is played by Danny Trejo. But of course, we have El Chato de Allá, which is played by Armando Hernandez. And we have La Jefa del Norte, which is played by Ninel Conde. So, but it's a very hilarious situations that he goes through, and he puts together this team of nine elements to go after the biggest villains of the northern part of the northern of Mexico and the U.S. and that's basically what it is. And it's very it's a very intrigued funny comedy that gets you involved in some and a lot of. It's very intriguing.
It's got a lot of twists and turns. I've seen
twists and turns all throughout. It's very, I mean, and at the end, you won't believe what happens at the end. It's just hilarious. I mean, you won't believe it. That I cannot tell you.
Yeah, I was going to say, before you make the mistake, don't go. No.
But you guys are going to love it. I'm sure of that.
Jorge, so I am a proud Colombiana from Barranquilla.
Oh, wow.
Been to Cartagena, been to Medellin. So I want to know, what made you choose Colombia as the location for the film?
Actually, I was talking to a friend of mine from Colombia, an actor. And he was telling me that, they were not working. And they were very in confinement, pretty much. And he happens to be one of the biggest comedians of Colombia. And I said, would you be interested in working in a movie? Well, of course, but I mean, I don't know when. Not now. I said, what do you mean now? Yeah, as soon as I finish the script, would you be interested? Well, explain to me. Don't worry. I just need a yes or a no. And he says, well, yeah, I'm excited. So that's why I decided to start the story in Colombia. That's because of that conversation that I had with him. And by the way, I just had finished a script right before that, a tour winner, which it was. I sold it to a producer friend of mine that he's gonna make for another company with the red thing. But I wanted to do. I just didn't want to continue just writing. I wanted to write and do something somehow, bring up the industry back on its feet. And I thought I really thought that this project could do that, and it did. Like and it's funny because the industry has changed so much. Before you make a film, of course, you have to deal with theaters before you even think about platforms. But now we're gonna launch it on platform for free, and it's gonna go on theaters afterwards. Isn't that funny? Like, and the president of this theater company. He says, you know what, when you did it, how you did it, with the amount of people that you did it, the cast that you have, I don't have to see the movie. Let's sign the deal. I mean, he didn't watch it, but that's how it works. This is a message that really, no matter what we're going through together, we can really do something great, something wonderful. And this is one of those things that that we did it. And that includes you guys, because without you, this movie would not be promoted the way it's going to be promoted. I mean, I've been blessed to have all my colleagues from the press coming to all of my media tour and being there and help me get the message out. And I thank you for that. So that's why I chose Colombia as one of the countries.
Good choice.
For real.
Pero eso okay, también cool. Habla mucho del poder del pueblo hispanohablante, ¿no? Que Distro TV haya adquirido Latinoamérica y ahora tenga Distro TV Español. Entonces, ya que vemos el poder de la audiencia de habla hispana creciendo más y más cada día, ¿qué le sugiere a la nueva generación de directores jóvenes cuyos proyectos podrían estrenarse en plataformas como Distro TV Español?
Mira, que adquieran el conocimiento necesario, no solo en la creación de contenido, porque es lo que yo veo, por ejemplo, a generaciones muy talentosas, nuevas generaciones con mucho talento, que nada más generan, pero no aprenden todo lo demás para empezar a monetizar. Entonces, este es un perfecto ejemplo de cómo en realidad puedes monetizar con tu producto, con tu contenido. Mi sugerencia es que aprendan esas herramientas, esas herramientas que solo te las va a enseñar, y esa es una realidad en todo, alguien que tiene el conocimiento. Y conocimiento no es que tengas la información, no es que tengas que aprendas la información de memoria. No, conocimiento es que tengas la información, que la aprendas y la implementes. Que te des los golpes, que aprendas para poder enseñar cómo llegar más rápido a tu destino.
Entonces, a registrarse a los talleres de Jorge. Ya escucharon.
No, yo no dije eso.
Jorge para president. George for president.
Para you que guys. Tengas todos esos premios también.
Claro. Pues mira, Fanny, en 20 años yo me he ganado 10 premios internacionales y en los últimos 7 años me he ganado 19. Ahí está la prueba.
Y mira, ¿qué quiere decir? En los 5 minutos que ha estado aquí se ha ganado como 5 más, para que tú veas.
Muchas gracias.
Exactamente. Exactamente.
No, pero esa es mi sugerencia.
Entonces veo, George, you have dabbled in different types of films. This one's a comic, you've done all kinds. But which one is your favorite?
Well, you know, actually, each project that I have done, it's I'm very versatile, but I really do enjoy anything that I do, everything that I choose to do. I really do enjoy it. Even when it's writing, I mean, I'm a author of Penguin Random House, and I love writing. I love to tell stories. Like I tell on my conferences, on my workshops, I tell them, you know, every story is powerful. All depends on how you share it, how you tell the story. So I don't have a favorite one. I can tell you which one's my last favorite, and I did a lot of that. And with this comedy, it has a lot of that. But my last favorite used to be action, and I did a lot of action films.
Your least favorite?
And I guess, to do them, yes. And I think I know why, because I did my first, one of my first action features did very well. My second one did awesome. And then I was pretty much hired just for that. And I wanted to do drama. So I had to make deals like, okay, I'll direct a action feature film if you produce a drama and I directed. So I don't know if it was because they I was put in that situation, but I knew I could do drama, I could do comedy, I could do mystery, I could do whatever. But back in those days, they say, no, this guy is the guy for action films. So but I love comedy. I love drama. I did a documentary called Un Crimen Llamado Educación, which did very, very well. That's totally different from what I've done in the past. I'm very good doing documentaries. I'm doing another one that is coming out in May that's called Resilience. It's going to be awesome. So they're different types. So I like I said, I put my heart and my passion to every single project, and I love every one of them.
That's amazing. Pues,
gracias.
Cada vez que yo vi el avance para esta película, yo no paraba de reírme. Y como bien dijiste, se grabó en Colombia, en México y Estados Unidos. Al incorporar culturas distintas, ¿cómo desarrollaron el aspecto cómico para que se entienda a nivel mundial? Porque una cosa es que hablemos español y otra cosa que reconozcamos a los artistas o que entendamos los chistes, que tengan ese toque único.
Muy buena pregunta. Pues mira, lo que hice cuando escribí esta historia, tomé algunos temas conocidos mundialmente. Entonces, por ejemplo, imagínate la escena que estábamos hablando cuando puso a temblar a la seguridad del presidente de los Estados Unidos una mujer. Esa noticia la supo todo el mundo, en inglés, en español, en chino, porque fue una noticia mundial. Pero entonces, cuando tú lo pones en contexto de comedia, lo neutralizas de tal manera que se ría si eres colombiano, si eres mexicano, si eres mexicoamericano o si eres español. Entonces, cuidé mucho ese aspecto para que fluyera en cualquier cultura. Y entonces, igual lo hice con todos los chistes, ¿no? Por ejemplo, a lo mejor No usamos, por decirte algo, la palabra, una palabra que no usamos en Puerto Rico, ¿no? Pero con la acción, tú te das cuenta y sabes, así no sea la misma palabra, sabes a qué se refiere y por qué le aventó el sartenazo, por ejemplo, ¿no? Entonces, igual lo utilicé, te digo, se hizo con algo de comedia sátira, ¿no? En varios aspectos, ¿no? Por ejemplo, pues Trump es un personaje muy reconocido. Entonces ahí tenemos algo, algunas cosas que va a ser muy
mundial. Sí.
Por bien o por mal. Por querido o no querido, pero ahí está. No, igual, digo, hay muchos más que no mencionamos, ¿no? Pero también está uno de los intérpretes más famosos de Barack Obama, que también es de Chicago, ¿no? Y el más famoso de Trump, que es de New York, ¿no? Entonces, hay varios personajes muy interesantes en esa película, la verdad.
I was going to actually mention that, because the one thing that makes me, like, I guess you can say really, like, excited about the movie is the diversity in it. I mean, it's got a lot of communities inside, even the trans community. I mean, it's a movie that it seems like, as you had mentioned earlier before, that one of the things we don't do well in the Latino community, and we don't. So for people who want to get offended by that, that's on you. Fix that. One thing we don't do well is we don't work together well. We don't support each other well. You know, you had movies that came out in December, November. People were refusing to buy tickets. They didn't want to go. But then for whatever reason, they went to go buy, you know, see Spider-Man. That wasn't an issue then, you know, for COVID. We're like waiting for things to come out on Disney Plus and things of that nature in order to finally see that. But was that an important aspect when you decided to film this movie, that you had such a diversity in the as part of the cast?
Yes, definitely. That's what I wanted to do. I wanted to include, like I said, I want to include every possible race. I want to include all types of genre and language. I didn't want to have any barriers. Of course, I mean, imagine if I include the seven countries, well, I need to make a 3-hour movie. But that was part of it. I really wanted to show that if we work together, we can really do amazing things, despite of the situation that we're going through. And that's one of the things, believe me, when I started in filmmaking, I had to start another career in order to get into filmmaking, because nobody will give me a hand to go into filmmaking, which was my passion since I was 7 years old. Imagine. And it was very difficult for me to get in. Imagine I had to give up my comfortable job, well paid, to start pulling cables, because nobody would give me a hand. But now that's what I try to do. For 20 years, what I did, and I said it one time, in an interview, I said, when I make my first blockbuster, I'm gonna take an apprentice, someone that doesn't know any filmmaking but has the passion, every year. And I did it for 20 years. I have people that they didn't know anything about filmmaking, and right now, one of them happens to be the best soundman of the state of Baja California. Another one happens to be the best photographer, one of the best photographers of Mexico, and so forth and so on. But I took 20 people that didn't know anything about filmmaking, and I introduced them into the industry. Me, personally, I teach them how to do things, because nobody did it for me. And this is part of sharing and be grateful for what the industry has done for me, to pay back, so to speak. You know?
Yeah, that's huge. I mean, paying back is something that we definitely should be doing. If anybody's, you know, getting up to that level, you know, make sure that you're looking for the person next to you so that they can turn around and learn that same level too. So,
right.
Look, man, it was amazing to have you on here. I want a shirt.
Well, thank you.
I don't know how I'm going to do this, but you're going to get me one of those Destro TV 009 shirts.
Somehow. You got it.
Hello.
You got it.
No, forget the rest of them. Claro. Just me. Don't worry about them. Don't worry about them.
Claro. No discrimines, Rafael. No discrimines.
Claro, por ejemplo.
Claro, claro que sí, no.
Viva la igualdad.
No, con mucho gusto, con mucho gusto. Y espero que próximamente me inviten, ya que se acabe toda esa conmoción del COVID, me inviten a una entrevista presencial.
Oh, seguro. A la orden.
Sure. Encantado.
Jorge, if people wanted to follow you and a lot of your upcoming works, where would they do that?
They can follow me on, I'm on Instagram, jorgecano.tv, or en imagenlatina.tv. That's where I post all of my stuff. And please, guys, don't forget to watch this movie. It's a wonderful, funny movie. You guys are going to love it. Going to love your heart out throughout. It's going to be out on February 25th at distro.tv. Meanwhile, you might ask, well, how did you do it? But I don't know. Don't ask me because I don't know. But we were able, although we're only a crew of three people, and we were able to do a documentary while we're shooting the movie.
What?
The making of. Yeah, so there's a there's a documentary on Distro TV. It's called Detrás de un Escándalo, behind a Scandal.
Yeah, Behind the Scandal.
Behind the scenes.
Behind the Scandal.
Yeah,
Detrás de un Escándalo. It's only 60 minutes, but it tells you how we did it and how we went about to do this movie. It's pretty crazy. You guys are going to love it.
That is crazy.
So I highly recommend it. That one's available right now on distro.tv.
Okay, so you guys got to go. I mean, you guys got to go watch that because, like I said, Escándalo Secreto comes out on February the 25th. You know, go to Distro, stream this, share it with your friends. Jorge, whatever we can do here on the Latin Babbler Show to make sure that we promote it even more, by all means, we're here for you, man. We support it. And that's our show, folks. We want to thank Jorge for coming, for joining us. And, man, that was an amazing interview. I really appreciate you. You can listen to us on Neighborhood Radio, on Radio89.com, and on every popular app. Don't forget, we're now on YouTube. That's where you'll see this interview. You can go and subscribe. And go to the website, www.latinbabbler.com, where you will see this interview as well as the bio and the movie that's going to come out. We'll have a little trailer for you guys there so you guys can take a look at that. And follow us on all social media at latinbabblershow.com. I'm the Latin Babbler with Jose Caro and Ms. Rocky and Cosmo Latina, and we are out.
Desde Nicaragua hasta Costa Rica, con esta canción todo mundo se identifica. Llamen a los chilenos y a los cubanos, llamen a Puerto Rico y a los mexicanos, que ya se armó la rumba. Desde Panamá hasta Ecuador, vámonos a Perú y luego hasta Salvador. Que se escuche en Brasil y Argentina. Yo quiero un grito de mi gente latina y levantaré mi bandera, estando en mi país o estando allá afuera, porque para mí mira, no existen fronteras. Yo levantaré mi bandera.